Good morning, Catalyst Church. Hey, it's so good. Can you see me? Good, good, good. All right. So good to have you worshiping with us this weekend. Come on, we're so very excited that this weekend, for the very first time, we get to welcome our Catalyst Church Richlands campus. Come on, grand opening this weekend. They're going nuts right now, and so we're excited about what God is going to be doing there. And then also, we're just excited about everybody that's joining us online, especially if you're Marine, military, deployed, or PCS around the world. We welcome you as well. And so we've been in this teaching series now for a month, and it's just called The One Another's. And this phrase, one another, is kind of a popular statement. We see it about 100 times in the New Testament. Jesus taught it. The Apostle Paul wrote about it and taught it to the local churches there, and really what it is the one another's is just practical ways that we are called as followers of Jesus who have been transformed by the love of God, how we are called to love one another, how we are to engage in the relationships of our life. And really it's founded upon one day called the Great Commandment, where a religious leader came to Jesus and he said, Jesus, give me the cliff notes on the Bible, right? Like, what is the greatest command in all of the scriptures? And Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And he said, the second greatest command is like the first, and that is love your neighbor as yourself. So that's what we talk about a lot here at Catalyst, that we exist to love God and we exist to love each other, and we're called to love our world, because we believe that our vertical relationship with God is what inspires and transforms and informs and motivates how we're called to love one another. And so, like, what does loving one another actually look like? Well, the one another passages teaches us exactly that. Like, practically, loving one another, as we've talked about in this series, looks like forgiving one another. Like, love is forgiving one another, and love is serving one another, and love is showing compassion, and it's honoring one another, and strengthening one another, bearing each other's burdens, praying for one another, being devoted to one another. And so the Bible teaches that we love because we have first been loved. And it's by the love of God that we learn how to love each other. So today I want us to focus in on a topic that I think is just vitally, vitally important. I think it's like water in the desert. It's like breath in your lungs. And today we want to talk about encouragement. Everybody say encouragement. So by a show of hands right here and online at our Richlands campus, how many of you would say that you could use a little encouragement? Come on, just raise your hand up. Some of you are like, no, not me. It'll need a little bit of encouragement, right? Need a little bit. And this is the reason why we need a little encouragement, is because life can be discouraging. Life can be very discouraging. Life is filled with so much conflict and tension. I mean, we live in a season, in a time, in our country, and in our world where negativity really is the air that we breathe. And so it's really easy to get discouraged. I mean, I don't know if you wake up the same way that I do. I wake up to my alarm clock, and so the first thing I'll do is, after I hit the alarm clock, then all of my notifications will come up, right? And so it's everything that went chaotic in the world in the 5 to 7 hours that I just slept, you know, it was just kind of coming in just perfect order. Like, this is how the world blew up last night, all right? And just starts the day with such a positive, love Jesus kind of a thought, right? And so, like, here's a list of the viruses and the new contaminations and the political craziness and the stock market and the newest scandal and who's going to jail today, right? I mean, that's what you get. Then you wake up and you go downstairs, and if you're blessed enough to be able to spend some time with your kids, you know, and you get any kids some breakfast, and they're like, I don't want that. You're like, well, what do you want? Well, I want this. We're like, we don't have that, all right? And so then you get them dressed, and of course they have nothing to wear. You're like, you have a walk-in closet. I have nothing. Nothing to wear. So a couple of meltdowns later, you get them to school to realize they forgot something. And then you get to work, and you know somebody's crazy is going to show up that day, and the copy machine's out of toner, and your printer won't sync with your computer, and then you got to call IT, and they want to know your password, and you can't remember your password. And they're like, well, you're going to have to reset your password. And like, okay, reset my password. What do you need for me to reset my password? We need your old password to reset you to a new password. Like, that doesn't make sense. And then somehow you end up having to go to the DMV for the day, right? I mean, it's just like life can be so discouraging. And here's the thing, no matter how good you all look, and listen, you look good, all right? You look good at church. Catalyst people, we got some good-looking people at Catalyst. But here's the thing, this is what we know. Every person is facing battles on the outside and on the inside. And because of that, we all need encouragement. That's why I believe this passage is so huge, it's so vital. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 24, let's get some encouragement today from the word. This is what the Apostle Paul writes, the author of Hebrews. He says this, and let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good deeds. That word consider, just circle that in your Bible or underline that or something in your notes. How to consider, that means how to you gotta pay special attention. Make it a priority. How to stir up, how to encourage and motivate and inspire one another to love and good works. Not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another. Say those three words with me. Encouraging one another. The Bible says, all the more as you see the day drawing near. So notice what the Apostle Paul is teaching. He says, as a follower of Jesus, I want you to give special attention. I want you to make it a priority. Like this is something that we as followers of Jesus should be known for. Like we think of others more highly than we think of ourselves. We're thinking about how to stir up and inspire and incite and motivate others to embrace the love that God has for them, the love of God and good works, which means the purpose that God has for their life. Listen, I believe this. I believe that one of the primary ways that we're called to love one another is through encouragement. And Jesus said this, and he says, it's by this all men will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. And again, I believe that one of the primary ways that we love one another is that we encourage one another. I believe love encourages. Love inspires. Love elevates. Love motivates. It seeks to build up. And so I believe that encouragement is the language of love. It's the language of hope. It is the language of life. So here's the question I want to ask you today. Do you know how to speak this language? Do you know how to speak the language of encouragement? This week we finally got around to found a contractor and some stuff like that to do some of the repair on our house from Hurricane Florence. So we had drywall issues and paint issues and all those different kinds of things that we still had to take care of. And so we had a company in our house all week. For about 4 days we had drywallers and painters in our house, and they're kind of doing everything. And so the lead guy, he spoke English, and then but then he left. And so there was two other guys there, and one guy spoke kind of English, all right? The other guy, I thought, spoke English, and so I talked to him for like 4 days, and he was like, it took me a while to figure out. I'm like, this guy is the most agreeable dude I've ever met in my life. He's like, yeah. And so after a while, I thought, I'm trying to communicate with him. I didn't really want anything. I just, if you're in my house, we're talking, all right? That's just kind of how I am. And so we're gonna talk. I'm gonna find out a little bit about you. And so they're working. I'm asking about their family, and they're like, yeah, And so then after a while, I'm like, well, you know what? Okay, they speak Spanish. Here's the problem. I don't really speak Spanish, but I gave it my best. All right? And so I kind of tried to remember every Spanish word that I've ever learned in my life and tried to incorporate it into a conversation with them. And it was horrible. I'm like Joey off of Friends. My Spanish sounds like I'm from Jamaica. Okay, all right. It's absolutely horrible, and they were laughing at me and just kind of playing with me and messing with me, but I was trying, all right? I was trying to speak the language. I mean, I'm going to challenge you today to get better at speaking the language of encouragement, because I believe this. I believe that people in your life are desperate for the encouragement that only you can speak. I'm going to say that again because I think it's important. I believe that people in your life are desperate for the encouragement that only you can speak. If you're married, listen, your spouse is desperate for the encouragement that only you can speak. into their life. Your children, if you've got kids, your children are desperate for the encouragement that only you can speak. That's not saying other people can't encourage them. It means no one can encourage them like a mom or like a dad or like a husband or like a wife. Listen, today, when you go out to eat, that waiter or waitress, I promise you, on Sunday, they need your encouragement. All right? Because there's a lot of church people out there that are giving us bad press. All right? And so let me just challenge you. Encourage your waiter or your waitress. If you can't afford to tip 20%, don't go out to eat. Amen? And if you do, don't wear a Catalyst shirt. All right? Don't tip somebody with a track or an invite card to Catalyst. All right? Give them somebody else's church's card or something like that. I don't know. But listen, people are desperate for the encouragement that only you can speak. And so I believe that Christians are called to be master encouragers because Jesus was a master encourager. Like everywhere he went, every interaction that he had, he was constantly adding value to people's lives. Whether it was the outcast, the outsider, the tax collector, the leper, the prostitute, the woman caught in adultery, the sick, even his 12 disciples, or even the thief hanging on the cross next to him. Every interaction, Jesus was loving them by encouraging them to embrace the love that God has for them and the purpose that God has for their life. And so I believe that you may be the only encouragement some may receive. So we need to get good at this, church, all right? I believe the church should be the best at encouraging in the world. And so how do we do this? I reached out to my staff this week, and so to all of my staff this week, and I asked them this question. I said, what encourages you? Like what is something that someone could say to you that would inspire you or motivate you or encourage you to know that you are loved, and to inspire you to press forward to the good deeds and the good works that God has in store for their life and for your life. And man, they gave me such incredible wisdom and insight. And so I'm going to utilize several of theirs as we talk and get really, really practical today on how do we encourage one another. How do we get better at speaking the language of encouragement? The first one is this. I want you to write this down. We have to speak, get this, specific and intentional words of encouragement. Speak specific and intentional words of encouragement. I think this is so true. Encouragement has to be spoken. It has to be spoken. It has to be heard. I'm guilty of this because I think about my staff and my pastors and our ministers and directors and staff and employees. And you know what? I believe that I've got one of the best staffs in the nation. I believe that we got one of the best pastoral teams and you name it. The people that work here, they are the best of the best. And I think good thoughts about them all the time. But how many of you know that those good thoughts does not help them if I don't speak it? I love my wife, I love my kids, but how many of you know that my good thoughts of my family is not helpful if I don't speak it? So I love this statement from John Stickle. He says, one encouraging word can heal in a way thousands of good thoughts cannot. Amen? Gotta speak words of encouragement. Paul said that we have to consider how, we got to think about how we can stir one another up. So encouragement has to be intentional. You got to do it on purpose. It'll never happen on accident. But you also got to be very careful as to how like what you say or the specifics of what you say. Proverbs 12:18 says that reckless words pierce like a sword. Can we read this out loud together, church? Reckless words pierce like a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. You ever heard somebody say, well, I just say what I think. Well, that's stupid. All right? Well, I'm not holding back. If I feel it, if it's in me, I'm letting them know. The Bible says that is foolish. Reckless words are like sword thrusts, the Bible says. But the tongue of the wise brings healing. Most of the people that we come into contact on a daily basis, understand this, their scars are not on the outside, they're on the inside. Like, people's wounds aren't on the outside, they're on the inside. And so of every single one of us, and so every one of us, we are wounded walking. And the words that we speak can either speak life or speak death. The words that we speak can either build up or tear down. They can either unite or they can divide. They can poke a hole in someone's identity or they can patch it. Bible says in Proverbs 18 that death and life are in the power of the tongue. So we've got to understand that in a world of negativity and criticism and where people are so brave behind a keyboard, right? So brave, so negative, so vile behind a keyboard in anonymity. In our political season and in our social media and news and everything is so toxic. That today we need to understand the church of Jesus Christ should be speaking with the voice of God, and the voice of God brings life. The voice of God brings hope. The voice of God provides a future. Like, it was the breath of God that made dead, dry bones come back together. It was the voice of God, the breath of God that spoke to a 3 days dead Jesus and brought him back to life. The voice of God brings life. Let me ask you, who do you need to speak specific and intentional words of life to this week? It could be life to them. Let me give you just a couple phrases that I think are just absolutely important. Number one is, I value you. How important is that? Just, I value you. Again, I don't think that I say this enough. I think it. People are valuable. But if I don't say it, then they're not going to know it. And this is what I realized. I think all of us, in a way, struggle with our identity. We all struggle with our sense of value. How valuable are we in this place? Or we doubt ourselves, filled with fear. Does my life matter? Does what I do matter? And so often, I think that our sense of value is distorted by the lens of other people's reckless words spoken over us during our life. Or life experiences, or maybe even our own self-doubts or fears, or maybe our own disappointments. But what I want you to see is, I want you to see what God speaks over you. I want you to see what the tongue of the wise, what he says about you. Psalm 139, verse 14. I love the psalmist David said this. He said, I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. And I love this. How precious are your thoughts, O God. Think about that. Do you realize that God thinks about you? Isn't that cool? Like, the God of the universe thinks about you. Not just like this every once in a while, but the psalmist said, I mean, if I were to think about the thoughts that you have of me, they would be vast, like the sand on the seashore, the stars in the skies. Like, God, you think about me. That's incredible. Like, what does he think? Jeremiah 29:11. He says, for I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. This is God speaking over you. And here's my plans, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. Like, what does God think about you? Ephesians 2:10, Bible says, for we are God's workmanship. We are his workmanship. That means his masterpiece. We've been created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. I mean, that's what God thinks of you. That's what God thinks of you. Listen, no matter how you might feel or no matter what struggles you might have, I want you to know you are valuable to God. God is crazy about you. God is passionate about you, about your heart, about your marriage, about your singleness, about your career. God is passionate about you. He has plans and purposes for you. He created good works for you to do. He put you into a time and a place to be able to do them. He gave you his spirit to enable you. He gave you his word to direct your path. God is passionate about you. Listen, you have value. The Bible says that you're more priceless than gold or silver, more precious than rubies. Listen, if you want to breathe life into someone, you want to motivate, encourage them, lift them up, then remind them how valuable they are to God. Remind them how valuable they are to you. To you. Our Catalyst Kids staff went and took a lot of the teacher's bags that y'all been bringing in for the past few months, and they went to the local schools this week, and they were handing them out, just loving on our local school teachers all over Onslow County, and going in, praying for them, encouraging them, and they saw this quote up on the wall in one of our elementary schools. I just loved it. It said this, it says, "Be somebody who makes everybody feel like somebody." I just like that, amen? That's just good. Shouldn't that be how the church, like how we live? I think so often when the people of the world think about the church, they don't think about this stuff, do they? They don't think about this. But we, as Catalyst people, we should live in such a way that they go, wow, that's the church. I see Jesus there. I see Jesus in them, in their kindness, and in their words, and in their encouragement. They're adding value, they're lifting up, they're building up, they're seeking the prosperity and the blessing of their city, amen? That's the church we wanna be. All right, another one here, this is good, all right? I love this one. Here's a great phrase to use. Just look at somebody and say, you know what? You've got this. You've got this. I love that, you've got this. I mean, how many of you know that when you are feeling overwhelmed and you're struggling with self-doubt and fear, you know, this is something that you just need to hear at times. There's so often when maybe I've been in a difficult week or a difficult, I've got lots of meetings or strategy planning, or I'm leading through some big change, and like every decision that we make impacts thousands of people, and so there's a lot of weight to the decisions that we make, or maybe it's just the weekends or the services or whatever it is. So often, just when I need it, you know what I'll get? I'll get a handwritten note, or I'll get a card, or I'll get a text message, or I'll get a instant message or something like that, and someone will say something like this, "Pastor, I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you. I love you. You know, God has used you in my life, you know," and they're just encouraging. You're encouraged. We believe that God has gifted you and brought you here to lead at times like this. I just want you to know you're not alone. I'm thinking of you today. I'm praying for you today. And in essence, they're looking at you and going, "Man, you got this. Just keep going. Just keep serving the Lord." This is actually a phrase that my dad would use often, because he went to be with the Lord a couple years ago, and we would always talk. He was a preacher, I'm a preacher, and so we would talk on Monday mornings about the weekend, and we would talk about what's going on in life and ministry and everything, and I would kind of just lay everything out. This is what we're going through. This is what we're facing. This is kind of where we're going. And so I would lay it all out, and he would always stop at some point, and he would go, "Now, son, listen, you got this. You got this." And whenever he said that, I'm like, "All right. Yes." And he wasn't going, "Man, listen, you're good enough and smart enough and gosh, people like you." That's not what he was saying. In that he was saying, "Listen, you're called by God and gifted by God, and I know you're seeking the glory of God, and I know you're listening for the voice of God, and I know you got great people around you. And so listen, just keep believing, keep walking in faith. You've got this." Maybe there needs to be some people in your life that you look at him and go, "You know what? God loves you. God is with you. The Spirit of God is in you. Keep your eyes on him. You've got this." Philippians chapter 4 in verse 13, it says, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Now, a lot of people, you hear that a lot of times, and it's taken out so out of context because they love the first four or five words. Like, "I can do all things." Yes. Listen, this verse has very little to actually do with you. And so the glory does not go to you. Like, look what I can do. I can do all things. That's not the focus. The focus is through Christ who strengthens me. 2 Peter 1:3 says, "It is by his divine power that God has given us everything that we need for life and godliness." Who around you today Who do you know? Maybe even in your unit, maybe at your school, or maybe even, you know, in a parents group or in a ball field, or just maybe even in your own family, and they're going through a difficult season, and you just need to let them know, you know what, you got this. You got this. God didn't bring you this far to let you fall now. You've got this. Keep going. I love this next one. I think it's just encouraging. It's just when someone would look at you and say, you know what, just don't give up. Don't give up. Every great movie, every great storyline revolves around a character who's fighting some kind of a challenge, trying to climb some kind of a mountain, trying to conquer some kind of an obstacle, you know? And there's this plot in every single great storyline where they come like to the end of themselves and they're ready to throw in the towel. They're ready to give up. They're ready to wash their hands. They're ready to just walk away and quit. We see this in like every great story. Here's just a couple of them. I love this one from Rocky, all right? Rocky says, it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done. Let's look at one of the greatest theologians and philosophers, Yoda, and see what he says. He says this. He says, do or do not, I'm not even gonna try his voice, all right? I'm not gonna do that. Do or do not, there is no try, right? Great wisdom right there. How about this philosopher, Dory? That says, just keep swimming. Just keep swimming. I mean, some of you need to look to the person next to you and say, just keep swimming, all right? Come on. Come on, just keep swimming. Or maybe you need to speak the words of the great Forrest Gump, right? Run, Forrest, run. Listen, that makes for a great scene in a movie, but often it's a lot harder in real life because life is difficult and life can be really discouraging. And there are a lot of days where you're gonna feel like you wanna quit. Normally for preachers, that's called Mondays, you know, but you might be in this season where you're like, man, I just want to quit. And some of you are thinking about quitting spiritually, and some of you are thinking about quitting relationally. Maybe you're in a marriage, and you're like, you know, we've tried and this and that, and you tried, or maybe with a kid, or maybe with a career path, or your school, you're like, I'm done, it's frustrating, it's hard, and you just want to walk away. And I just want to encourage you today. Just keep swimming, right? Don't give up. Don't walk away. And then the last one. I think this one's so, so vital. It just simply says this, you're not alone. How many of you know there's some people today that need to hear that? But also, it doesn't need to just be something that they hear. It needs to be a reality in their life. Like, they need to know that they are not alone, that God is with them, that God is for them. But how many of you know that's great and we need God, but God's invisible and sometimes we need flesh. Sometimes we need flesh. And that's why I think Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and 25 again speaks to this so well. Let's go back to it again. It says, and let us consider how to spur one another on towards love and good deeds. And then here's this phrase, and we've heard this maybe several times. I've heard it a million times. It says, let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing. And I've always heard that, and that always sounded very negative to me. Like you better not miss church. There's some other pagans, man, they stopped going to church. You don't need to be like them. You need to have your butt, your tail in church, right? And so you always hear that it kind of has this negative connotation, but I don't believe that that's negative at all. He's saying, listen, don't give up meeting together. Yeah, as is the habit of some, but let us encourage one another. This is why, he's like, this is why you don't want to miss church. This is why you don't want to forsake the assembling of yourselves. This is why you don't want to miss life group. This is why you don't want to miss being in the house and celebrating and worshiping. You want to know why? Because this is where you get encouraged. Like, this is where you get inspired. This is where you get motivated to love God, to embrace the love of God, to know the love of God, to be transformed by the love of God. And then this is where you are challenged to put that into practice and love one another in the same way that God has loved you. This is where you're gonna be encouraged and challenged to good works, to pursue the purpose that God has for your life. Listen, this is where we get inspired. This is where we get spurred on. The church is the place for encouragement. And if you've gone to church in the past, and you've gone to a church and you're like, man, that's just not encouraging at all. Listen, we're not about religion, we're about a relationship. And I believe that a relationship should lift you up. So I pray that when you come in here on the weekends, I always heard, well, preacher boy, you stomped all over my toes today. And I'm like, I wasn't aiming for your toes. I don't care about your toes. I want your heart to be touched. I want to elevate your thinking. I want to lift your eyes up off of where you are. And I want you to see just how passionate and crazy God is for you. And how no matter what pathway you're going down, it's not going to be nearly as good as the one that God has for you. God is passionate about you. He has a plan and a purpose for your life, and you don't want to miss it. Listen, our church is at its very best when we're lifting each other up. We're at our best when we're helping each other rise, when we're inspiring each other to new heights. And so let's be that church. But understand, the key to that, to being that kind of a church, is that you have to be that kind of person. Because you are the church. We're the church gathered right now, but in just another 15 minutes, we're going to be the church scattered. And so wherever you go, you need to understand that you are to love others the way that God has loved you. And one of the primary ways that we do that is that we need to be an encouraging people. And encouraging people, looking for opportunity and ways to point people to the love that God has for them and to the life that God has for them. Amen? Amen. Let's pray together today. Father, we're so grateful for your word. We're so grateful, God, just for the reminder today again that you love us, that you're so crazy about us that you sent Jesus to come and to live and to die on the cross for our sins, to be buried in the grave and to rise again on the third day. And so, Father, we remind ourselves of your love for us, God. And we remind ourselves that we are called to love you with all that we have. And that love is to transform the way that we have relationships. It's to transform every relationship. And so, God, I pray that you would teach us how to be a people that loves out loud, that loves with a sense of boldness, yes, with compassion, yes, with a heart of serving, yes, with a heart of grace that is ready to forgive. But God, also help us to understand that encouragement is the language of love, that we would live our life looking at others and trying to lift them up and build them up and point them to you. Help us to be that church, Lord. I'm grateful that I get to be a part of a church, that we get to be a part of a church that strives to be your people in that way. And just continue to do your work in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.